Hi friends, Kevin Swanson, your host with you today on the Generations broadcast. Steve Vaughn also in the studio with us today. Steve is the homeschool father of six, one boy,
and or five like I girls. Say, yeah, I like to say they're all girls, all boys except for five of them.
Yeah. And yeah, for me they're all boys except for four.
Yeah.
So you're the father of one boy, I'm the father of one boy. The Lord's really woke me up to getting involved in my son's life early on when he was 10 or 11 years of age.
Yeah.
I quit my corporate job largely because I wanted to spend more time with my son and my family. And, you know, it just seemed that he needed more of my time. And as the years went by, I gave him a fair amount of my life, and I'm thankful that I did. We have a good relationship today, and you have a good relationship with my son, too, because he lives at your house.
Yeah, and have a good relationship with my son, even though he bought a house and moved out. He's over at our house a couple times a week, and just love that guy. He is a man's man, I think, and so is your son, Daniel. He's another man's man.
Well, it's been a blessing. I was a real blessing spending more time with my son and traveling with him to probably some 40, 50 states.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, an American icon is coming down. The Boy Scouts are coming down. This is an article from the Washington Post. It appears that the Boy Scouts may not survive the lawsuits, the possible bankruptcy, the declining numbers. The question in the Washington Post was this: is there a future for the Boy Scouts?
Well, I thought that there was supposed to be, since they capitulated to all of the demands by the people.
Well, and they've done it quite rapidly. I think it's the rapidity of the decline that's shocking to us. It was just, in 2011, 2012, they capitulated to homosexuality and then gender fluidity, including girls and the Boy Scouts, 2 years ago? And then the sexual abuse scandal follows, you know. And inevitably, once you see they've opened the doors to sexual perversion, you know, sexual abuse is probably all part and parcel of the sin that so represents our culture and the Boy Scouts specifically. Well, that period of time between the point at which the sin is committed and the destructive effects of that sin is decreasing rapidly. Does that make sense? In other words, you have the point at which the sin occurs, and then you have the point at which the destructive effects of the sin kick in. And, you know, it could be a sexual sin of adultery or a pornography addiction, and then you've got the divorce, and then you've got the brokenness of the family and all the rest. But it seems as if what's happening right now, Steve, is the period of time between the point at which the sin is committed and the destructive effects of that sin is decreasing rapidly before us. And the Boy Scouts present something of a pattern for the unraveling of the entirety of our society today. Expect many, if not most, of colleges and universities in America to shut down by the year 2028. I would just guess. You know, it would be around 2028 that the colleges and universities will shut down, the college bubble will burst, and expect the community sports programs to shut down due to the insanity of gender fluidity, and I'd say by about 2030 on that one, and then expect the K-12 schools to shut down by the year 2034. This is where we are. I don't know as if people understand that we are entering a new dark age, something of what Rome dealt with in 475 AD. And friends, that's because America has become a self-destructive culture. We are in a self-destructive vortex even as we speak.
Yeah, our family's reading through Revelation right now, and we're seeing how the ungodly trinity, the governments, the adulteries, the idolatry, false religion, all getting together, but everybody is so selfish, they want everything from everybody else, and they basically implode in the end. There's really not much of a battle. They crush.
I'm completing extensive study of world history from creation to Christ, with all the empires from Assyria to Babel to Persia to Greek to the Roman Empire. And what we're finding in this study is that America has already gone through. Its peak has come down, and we are in a much more self-destructive pattern than these other empires were towards the end of their reign. So, friends, it appears that these empires are coming down. America is in a self-destructive vortex, and the Boy Scouts is only representative of that. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
If It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn in studio with me right now as we look at the decline of an American icon, and that is the breakdown of the Boy Scouts. And no surprise here that within, what, 5 or 6 years, Steve, the Boy Scouts went from incorporating homosexuality and admitting to a sexual abuse scandal and allowing girls into the Scouts, and now they're talking about bankruptcy. So no surprise here at all. The Mormon Church pulled out. That's some 20% of the membership of the Boy Scouts. And the article actually says that one of the reasons for the breakdown of the Boy Scouts, they don't point to sin, sadly.
Yeah.
But this Washington Times article says that kids have too many activities, other activities going on in their life.
Oh, really?
They don't have time for scouting.
Okay, so what?
Well, what are these activities? Yeah. Well, it turns out, a study published in 2017 by Gallup found that children spend an average of 18.6 hours of their free time playing on screens per week compared to 10.6 hours playing outside. So,
yeah.
So 19 hours are dedicated to screen time. Another survey done by the UK, I think this was done by BBC News, they found that back in 1995, kids 5 to 16 years of age were hitting the screen for 3 hours each day. That has increased in 2015 to 6.5 hours. That's a double.
Wow.
Screen time access in 20 years. That's 48 hours a week of screen time.
Where do they find the time?
Yeah, just certainly not enough time for 6 hour outdoor adventure with the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're very, very busy.
Yeah,
very, very busy.
Got to get to level 37.
Anywhere from 20 to 48 hours a week of screen time, and they just don't have time for a 6 hour outdoor adventure. No time for that. Very, very busy. Got a lot going on in these kids' lives.
Yeah, so they're not out mowing lawns for sure then, and they're not getting jobs, and they're not doing anything else. They're just, they got to get to the next level.
That's right. Well, the concern back in 1910 when this was formed, actually the Boy Scouts were formed in the UK, and then it spread to the United States. I think it started in 2007, went on to the States in 2010, and the concern was that weak boys would grow up into weak men.
Makes sense.
Would produce a weak nation.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
So I think that makes a lot of sense to nations, because ultimately the backbone of the nation is formed by men. And another very interesting statistic that came out most recently is the median income of the average guy has decreased big time since 1975. And we treated this on the Worldview in 5 minutes. I think it was just last week, the median income for young men in the workforce has dropped 12% from $46,000 to $40,000 since 1974. That's adjusted for inflation per supermoney.com. Meantime, women have seen a median income rise from $20,000 to $30,000 over the same period.
Wow.
So men have seen a drop off. And this was at a period of time in which we've seen a massive increase in mechanization, automation, computerization. Think about how much computerization, how much automation has improved, how much efficiency has improved in manufacturing and in agriculture and every other aspect of the industry in just the last 30 to 40 years. At the same time that we've seen the world improve in terms of technology, unlike any other period in all of human history, what do we see but a massive increase in debt-to-GDP ratio, a decrease in the median income for the average guy. Why? Because the average guy is sitting around hitting the screen time, and it's not just the 5 to 16-year-olds. It's the 16-year-old to 60-year-olds.
Yeah, so apparently making it through the entire Halo series is not a great resume enhancer.
It certainly isn't adding anything to the median income.
Yeah.
Friends, so, yeah. Massive decrease on median income for young men since 1974. And that's because young men are soft. That's because our empires are collapsing on themselves. Because we have weak boys growing into weak men, producing a weak nation, and call that a weak world. And friends, we got to be careful here, though, because a worldview analysis that stops short of solutions is not helpful. And there are programs that present a worldview analysis, and the temptation is to stop with the critique. And we have to be very, very cautious. As part of the Generations Radio broadcast, we're interested in the lives of our sons and grandsons. We can't just leave it here. Steve, with a smug sense that we've analyzed the problem with everybody else in the world, you know what I'm saying? We have to be cautious with this.
Yeah, we can't just wash our hands and say, well, at least we know what the problems are.
Yeah, yeah, and we're doing fine, and
yeah.
The whole world's going to hell.
And the heck with that, so who cares, yeah.
But we
do care.
We have to be cautious. We don't slip into that mindset.
Yeah.
Somebody told me this earlier in the week, and I think he nailed it, that, you know, we have part of the problem with us as well. We are in a major crisis. It affects the civilization, but our concern should not be primarily the civilization. This affects our sons and our grandsons, our families, our churches. Now, we should be concerned somewhat about the civilization, but we should be even more concerned for our children's souls.
Amen.
And I think that's where we need to go every time. We need to come back to the gospel every time, and programs that do worldviews analyses but refuse to come back to solutions, refuse to come back to the gospel, which ultimately is Jesus coming to save us from our sins. That is the fundamental issues that bring about these crises. Then we're in trouble. Now, as we face crisis, I'm talking about family crisis here, social crisis, personal crisis, whatever it is. What do we do? Well, I think one of the best examples is Acts 16. Think about crisis for a moment.
Yeah.
You come face to face with a crisis. We are in crisis. There's no question. People don't see it. Their heads are buried deep into the sand. And they're going to be the first victims. But if you see this crisis, what do you do? Well, listen to Acts 16. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. What that means is that there was a crisis. It was an earthquake. It's interesting. Just last night, I dreamed that there was a tornado that came over our house. It's interesting. This is what we're talking about here. A crisis for our civilization, a crisis for our families, a crisis for our churches. And so there's the crisis. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Okay, this is crisis. But Paul called with a loud voice and said, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And then he came and called for a light and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." So as this man faced the crisis, now I don't think he was just looking at a crisis that affected, you know, his relationship with God, or a crisis in which he saw himself as a sinner entirely. He perhaps saw the effects of sin. He perhaps saw the natural disaster and some of these, you know, indications of God's judgment. He perhaps feared God and saw something of God's hand in this. Whatever it was, he saw a crisis. He was faced with crisis, a physical crisis, a emotional crisis, a spiritual crisis. He was facing the problems that we are dealing with in the world. Now, fundamentally, our problem is sin. And I'm sure that Paul explained a little more on that as he continued to minister to this man and baptized him and his household. But whatever the case, he saw the crisis, and Paul gave him the solution, and that is,
believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. I thought, he could have said something else.
He could have said a lot of things. He could have said, you need to be a better father.
Yeah.
You know, you need to support a better candidate. It's Augustus Caesar, or the Tiberius Caesar, or the Nero, whatever it is, that's serving now, is destroying human civilization. You know, he could have gone to all of this, but instead he went straight to the root of the issue, and that is Christ has come to save us from our sins, from the root problems that destroy us and bring us ultimately to his judgment.
Yeah, this guy was face to face with death at that point.
Right.
And so when you are looking death in the face at that moment, I think a lot of things come to mind is, you know, what can I do to be saved? Not just physically, but like you said, I think there was a spiritual aspect there too.
And Steve, I would hope that people would begin to see the massive crises that we're facing, whether it be the drug crisis, we talked about that, or the crisis of insanity that seems to be affecting the world, or the crisis of sexually transmitted infections, whether it be the crisis of the breakdown of the family, divorce and abortion, infanticide and sexual
economy,
dysfunctionality, and on 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 it goes. It seems to me at some point somebody needs to cry out like this guy did. Hey, guys, what must I do to be saved?
Yeah. And we need to have the answer, and we've got to have the right
answer. Amen. And the answer is, that's why Jesus came.
Yeah.
He came to die on the cross for our sins, rise from the dead, overcome sin and death and the devil, which is keeping us bound here and in bondage. But he came to set the captives free. And this message needs to get out. And I think people need to wake up to it. Of course, it takes the Holy Spirit of God to wake them up to these realities. Okay, secondly, again, we're talking solutions to the problem right now. The Boy Scouts coming down, society coming down. Boys, man, they're lost. They are lost. They are lost. Well, we're going to have to abandon the humanist systems that won't acknowledge Jesus Christ. And I think I've mentioned this recently on a program, but Steve, we can conveniently ignore Christ in the Boy Scout oath.
Yeah.
And I think they did. Do they mention Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in the Boy Scout oath?
Not that I recall.
No, they don't.
On my honor, I'll do my best, do my duty to God.
To God, but they won't mention his Savior.
Right.
And you know, and of course, everybody says, well, yeah, it's whatever God you want. It can be yourself, it can be Allah, it can be whatever. But they won't come down to the point that Jesus Christ does divide us. He came to divide us. He came to bring division. He came to lay down himself as the solution to our problems, as Savior and as Lord. And yes, he competes with all other lords and all other kings, and that was a bit of a problem for the Roman Empire. But this idea of ignoring Christ is a problem. They don't want Jesus to be all-consuming in education. Now, we're going to mention the Lord 487 times in our world history course, and we don't care what people think about that. We need Christ to be there, to be our Savior, to be our Lord, to be the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Christ needs to be at the very pinnacle of our consciousness. He must be preeminent in all things. And then let's talk about a few other things, and that is fatherhood. Fatherhood. Mm-hmm. How do you solve the problem of fatherless boys, of directionless boys, of boys that have lost a sense of manhood? What, 70% of young men aren't grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. In other words, they're not growing up, they're not getting jobs, they're not getting married, etc. How do we solve this problem? Boys need dads, even more than they need troop leaders and coaches. I think we need to come down to the basics. Boy, our sons need fathers, and they need fathers to restructure their lives, to allow for their children to intersect with them. There's not enough intersection with our children. This workaholic dad, this diverted dad, this dad that is playing his games and doing his golf and absorbed in his entertainment. No. Dads need to connect more and more. And I'm talking about quality time versus quantity time.
Yeah.
I had a friend who had 6 or 7 boys, and he'd say, you know, raising boys is like duck hunting. You spend 3 hours behind the blind for 30 seconds of action.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, what he's saying is you just got to hang out with them. And after a while, you get 30 seconds of action. But if you haven't spent the 3 hours, you're not going to get to the 30 seconds of actions. It's like duck hunting. And so, again, fatherhood. Let's bring fatherhood back. and discipleship and the whole concept of discipleship. Friends, these are the values that we're trying to bring back with our Shepherd's Conferences. These are the values we're trying to bring back with our radio program and our resources. I encourage you to our little book, Family Life, to better understand how we are going to see a radical reformation of life in the church. We're going to see a radical reconstruction of human relationship. We have to. It's either discipleship or bust. It's relationship or bust, Steve. It's either we begin to reestablish relationship by the grace of God, by the mercies of God in our families, or we're busted. Get a copy of Family Life at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.